In this sermon series, we've been examining what it takes to experience life-changing epiphanies. In the first week, we talked about being renewed daily by God. In the second week of this sermon series, we looked at what it means to be reclaimed for a new purpose in life. And last week, we considered what it means to be relinquished of our burdens. Today, we consider the story of Jesus and a man who was possessed in order to uncover what it takes to be released. We read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They, the disciples and Jesus, went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, in their synagogue, was a man with an unclean spirit. And when he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him and cried with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts to receive your love. Open our minds so that we can understand. Lord, bless us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have ever been around church long enough, you know in most churches, interruptions during a service, during worship, weddings or baptisms, or even the sermon are pretty rare. If there is an interruption, it's usually very minor. A cell phone rings or someone has a coughing fit. During non-COVID time, most services here at DeWitt Community Church are usually pretty predictable. However, not everything can be so predictable during a church service. Years ago, friends of mine were getting married during one hot summer day in Maryland, and the small church they were in was just packed full of family and friends. And they were all looking forward to celebrating the couple's vows and marriage. And the wedding service started just like any other. As the bride and groom stood before the minister and the packed church, the most unthinkable thing happened. The groom suddenly passed out. Everyone was shocked. And everyone in the wedding party started to panic. And someone called an ambulance, and the EMTs came rushing into the church. And there was a stretcher and oxygen tanks and medical bags and all of this commotion right in front of the church. And it didn't look like a church wedding service anymore. It looked more like an emergency room. And after 20 minutes of all this commotion and interruption, much to the dismay of the EMTs, the groom finally regained consciousness and wanted to continue the service and not go to the hospital. As the wedding ceremony began again, the minister continued the vows, and my friend got woozy and went down again. The groom passed out a second time. Well, the EMTs were called back again, and they brought the stretcher and medical equipment, oxygen tanks, and everything else. And another 20 or 30 minutes went by before the groom regained consciousness and sent away the EMTs for the ceremony to start. But this time, the groom was given a chair to remain right there in the altar. By this time, it had been almost an hour-long church ceremony with the groom's medical interruptions. And the bride was shocked. Her wedding ceremony was now ruined because the groom couldn't even stand up to recite his wedding vows. As the church ceremony restarted, the couple were almost finished with the ceremony, and then the groom passed out a third time in the chair. What was supposed to be a 30-minute church ceremony turned into almost a two-hour ordeal. Everyone was relieved when it was over. Most of all, my friends, the bride and groom, of course. This was by far the most disruptive service anyone in that church had ever attended. It is in the middle of a worship service, what would be the modern-day equivalent of a sermon, that we find Jesus, who is interrupted by the most shocking disruption at the local synagogue in Capernaum. Everyone was expecting a typical Sabbath morning teaching sermon, but everyone is shocked to learn a demon-possessed man was now raving and shouting at Jesus. This is now a major disruption. Everyone has to listen to this man rant on about demons and possessions and destruction. And Jesus was getting to the good part of his teaching because it says in verse 22 that everyone was amazed. What was supposed to be a normal worship service was now turned into a sensational encounter with a crazy man. If social media had existed, think of all the internet memes that could have been created for just this moment. Of course, there is speculation that first century understanding of mental health was limited, and this man could have been suffering from a medical condition. But whether it was demonic possession or a medical problem, the fact remains, Jesus healed this man. Instead of ejecting this man out of the building and his tormented problems, Jesus stops everything and embraces the disruption. This man is not well. He is afflicted by a demon. In first century Jewish thought, demons were only expelled by a complicated ritual. Oh boy, the attendees must have thought, this is going to be a long worship service. We're going to have to wait for someone to take care of this. But no, there wouldn't be a long wait. This man who was imprisoned by a demonic presence is astoundingly released from his torment on the mere words of Jesus. Those who are present are shocked. No complicated ritual, no hours-long process to rid this man of his demons. Jesus' authority as Son of God is so powerful that the mere words of Jesus suffice to rid this man of his ailment. Some might have been as enthralled with this spectacle. Much like the attendees of my friend's wedding, I'm sure some in the synagogue must have thought, good gracious, I'm just so glad this is over. Now, we can get on with our worship service. Let's get this done so we can go eat. We may miss the fact that this man sought Jesus out in the one place where he was known to be, right in the middle of worship on the Sabbath. Perhaps his community kept this man away from the rest of society. We know elsewhere in Mark's gospel that another demon-possessed man lived in a graveyard outside of town. Much like the man who lived in the graveyard, this man probably was rejected by his community. Clearly, this man in the synagogue was suffering so badly, he went to the one person who could help him. He sought freedom from his imprisonment. What was another's interruption and disruption became this man's liberation. While I do not rule out the possibility of demonic activity in this world, I found that most people who suffer from a different type of demon. Not a physical manifestation of a demon, but a type of demon of torture that is psychological or emotional in nature. Not demons from horror movies, but inner demons of the mind. Recently, I read a portion of a book authored by one of my favorite childhood baseball players. Even though I was a Baltimore baseball fan, I admired Mets right fielder Darryl Strawberry, who was an 8-time All-Star player and World Series championship player. Strawberry was known for his athletic ability and had this high step kick when he hit the ball. In his book, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life, Strawberry shared his own personal demons after a successful baseball career. A little over 18 years ago, Darryl Strawberry's now wife, Tracy, was pulling him out of drug houses, and as he, in his own words, was shooting dope, smoking crack, and just wanted to die. And she continued to chase him around, banging on doors, finding him, and promising him that there was more to life. And in one instance, Tracy, perhaps out of desperation, spoke the words that changed her husband's life. And she said this, "When are you going to take off that baseball uniform?" "What do you mean?" Darryl responded. She said this, "When are you going to stop being the baseball player Darryl Strawberry? You're not him anymore. And when are you going to be the man that God has called you to be?" She saw him not as a former baseball star, but as a broken man searching to get his life back on track. As others at conventions would mob Darryl Strawberry and ask for autographs, Tracy thought, "This guy needs help. Won't you let him alone and let him be?" Darryl Strawberry reflected on his struggles and how his wife helped. He said, "She saw me at the worst time of my addiction, which is hard. I just believe that God used her to rescue me from me. More than anything, she was the turning point." Strawberry continued by saying this, "God found me in a pit and put me in a pulpit to preach." He's gone on to share with churches and audiences his turnaround and how God has impacted his life. He says it's important for those to whom he preaches to know the brokenness from which he came, the demons he overcame, to be speaking in front of them. We may not be like Darryl Strawberry or the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 1, but we all have demons that chase after us, whether it be substances, anger, unforgiveness, pain, mistrust, or broken relationships. We all have something we seek to be released from. We all try to run away from our own personal prisons. Professor Peter Cohen, an expert in behavioral science, argues that human beings have a deep need to bond and form connections. It's how we get our satisfaction. If we can't connect with each other, we will connect with anything we can. We all have our internal prisons in some form or fashion, in which we're trying to get out of. Some of these internal prisons are very public, and some are very private. Some internal prisons have been constructed to protect ourselves, and others have been designed so that no one gets in, no one gets too close to our inner struggles or conflicts. In the end, we either internalize or externalize our turmoil. We imprison ourselves or others because of our inner struggle. But the question for you today is this: what are you bonding to? And the next question for you today is this: who are you bonding to? What led the demon-possessed man to interrupt and disrupt the Sabbath service in Capernaum was perhaps the desperation. Perhaps he was imprisoned so long, so bonded with his demons, that he knew he needed to be healed. This demon-possessed man in Mark 1 was finally done with being bonded with his demons and instead sought to bond with Jesus. he sought to be released. In his book entitled A Costly Freedom, Brendan Byrne asserts that unless we make some effort to relate to our world, he writes, we shall not really come to terms with the gospel at any great depth. The control of human life by forces, frequently transpersonal and socioeconomic, that stunt human growth and freedom, alienating individuals from each other and from their own true humanity. Friends, we have to stop alienating ourselves because of our personal demons. Like the man who sought Jesus in the synagogue, we must recognize that seeking release from our inner struggle requires us that we name our demons, confront them, and hand them over to God. Now, this isn't easy. It's usually very messy. We usually fail, and we need lots of help. And that's why we have our friends, we have our family, we have therapists, pastors, Stephen ministers, and a whole community to help you. You are called to the spiritual work of shedding your prison and demons in order to live in a life that God has in store for you. Let us have compassion for those who need leading out of their prisons. Let us help them with this work. We are not meant to be alienated, imprisoned, or separated because of our inner demons. Instead, we are meant to be a part of the community of Christ, the community of our church, and the community of our shared love for one another. Today, take the first step on the path of healing. Name your inner turmoil, confront it, and ask for help to start the work of breaking down your prison and living life as one who has been released. Today, watch what happens when you choose healing over pain, help over isolation, trust over doubt, faith over fear. Let us pray. Oh God, we may not identify with this demon-possessed man, this man who was afflicted with an impure spirit. But God, perhaps for a moment we identify the type of prison he was in, the type of isolation and social stigma, the type of alienation, the type of looks he would get, the comments, the way people treated him. God, help us to see that in his moment where he sought to stop his bond with his inner demons and bond with Christ, God, help us see that it is possible that we can bond with you. We can be released of our demons when we take that first step, as the man in the synagogue did, towards Jesus. God, help us take our first step to begin to name our afflictions, our inner turmoils, so that we can be released by you. Help us in this spiritual work. We ask all this in Jesus' name.